Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. We'll take stock now of developments this week in the Democratic presidential race. Maybe the biggest news for New Yorkers is that Michael Bloomberg announced that he will not run. Also, remember how Bernie Sanders had a campaign rally in Brooklyn last Saturday, even though the New York primary isn't until April of next year? Well, not to be outdone, Elizabeth Warren has now scheduled a rally for here in New York tomorrow. And it looks like Uncle Joe from Delaware is about done biding his time. We will talk about that and more now with Daniel Strauss from Politico, who's covering the presidential field. Hey, Daniel, thanks for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So I see Politico has a scoop today that says, in the latest sign that Joe Biden will run for president, his team has brought on Cristobal Alex, the head of the influential Latino Victory Fund, according to a source familiar with the move. Who is Cristobal Alex?
So Cristobal Alex is the former head of the Latino Victory Fund and a fairly high-ranking Democratic operative in Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. The reason this is important is because one of the biggest tells before a presidential candidate formally announces is building staff and hiring veteran operatives who probably are competitive among employers who are working for competing aspiring Democratic presidential candidates. In this case, Alex is someone that a lot of campaigns have sought after and have been looking to hire.
A New York Times angle on Biden today says he's close to a decision to run, but hasn't yet made it for sure, and other Democrats are getting impatient. Can you explain who might have reason to be impatient with Biden for this?
I mean, partially it is Democratic candidates or would-be candidates who feel that they also inhabit the same lane as Biden. So candidates like Terry McAuliffe, Sherrod Brown, the governor of Montana, Steve Bullock, and Washington Governor Jay Inslee, candidates who are white older men who are not seen as sort of the new wave of Democratic lawmakers, but feel that they can appeal to both liberals and working class voters who voted for Donald Trump in the last election.
What do you see as holding Biden back if he's close to deciding but hasn't really yet?
Well, it's not his advisors who are very interested in him running. Biden has been waffling on this for a while. He's partially felt that he doesn't have to jump into the primary early like some of his competitors. But beyond that, he really is not sure about another presidential run. He's run twice before, and they have not gone super well. In both cases, he ended up lagging near the wrong end of the Democratic primary field. And I think that still haunts him. Age also is a factor. But Democrats close to Biden say that he has enough energy and is in good enough shape to actually make a serious run at this.
Let's say he does run. How much would you expect Biden to take a more explicitly center-left, let's call it, set of positions and run that way openly against the emerging progressive wing of Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Kirsten Gillibrand on things like Medicare for All, Green New Deal, things like that?
It's really hard to say right now. I think one thing we do know is that Biden will definitely lean on his record and the political victories that he was involved in the Obama administration. But yeah, I think that's a good question. I've been surprised in this primary so far of who has tacked and who has sort of been assigned the moniker of moderate versus liberal. And it'll be interesting to see where Biden lands on something like Medicare for All, how he addresses that in comparison to Obamacare, and something like the Green New Deal. Biden has a long, long legislative history, and that is potentially helpful or potentially damaging, depending on how the rest of the field reacts to it. I wouldn't be surprised if some of his opponents opponents, if he runs, points out that he backed or opposed legislation that conflicts with some of the de jure political policy proposals that Democrats are really excited about right now.
Now, Michael Bloomberg announced this week that he will not run, and I heard that Biden's likely entry had something to do with that. Do you have reporting on that?
I mean, what we do know is that Bloomberg had been looking at this for a while. It's sort of a tradition of Democratic presidential primaries that Michael Bloomberg looks at running for president, then refrains. But his advisors and the data he had from polling suggested that he just couldn't overcome a strong Joe Biden presidential bid, that he would be eclipsed by the former vice president. And it would be on some things like the same constituencies that Bloomberg would lean on. He could not, Biden essentially would suck the air out of the moderate or the center-left lane that Bloomberg would look to inhabit.
I saw you retweeted someone's comment that between Bloomberg deciding not to run and Tom Steyer, who runs those impeach Trump commercials, also deciding not to run, there will not be a self-funded billionaire lane in the Democratic primaries. Do you think backlash against that status itself, self-funded billionaire, helped discourage them?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think it was a cautionary tale for a lot of these super wealthy potential candidates. I have been surprised in the past few months about the strong distaste for the prospect of a self-funder, especially after the 2018 midterms, where a lot of Democratic operatives here in D.C. and Democratic advisors were excited about certain candidates who could self-fund their campaigns or wouldn't be beholden to special interests, or that was the argument that they made. But here in the presidential arena, we haven't seen a strong interest for a self-funder.
Bloomberg says he will spend a lot of money on the 2020 race, just not on his own candidacy. Did he say what he'll spend on to influence 2020 politics with respect to?
I mean, the specifics of that remains a little unclear right now. But we do know that Michael Bloomberg has a strong distaste for a second Donald Trump term, and he's willing to spend a lot of money to help Democrats. I think it's fair to say that he was helpful in helping Democrats take the House. And on specific issues like gun control and the environment, Bloomberg has already positioned himself to spend a lot of money to push those policy points and support candidates who align with him on those issues.
Yeah, definitely on gun control, definitely on climate change, which kind of brings us to someone who did officially enter the Democratic field this week. You mentioned him before, the governor of Washington State, Jay Inslee, who I gather is running on a very climate change-focused platform. Can you describe how he's framing his candidacy?
I mean, for a while now, Inslee, and in the lead up to his announcement, Inslee was not shy about saying that climate change remains the definitive most important issue of our era. It needs to be addressed. And he was interested in forcing the Democratic primary and the overall presidential debate to have to address this issue. He's never shied away from reporting that said he would run a presidential campaign that, at the beginning at least, would be a single-issue campaign focused on climate change. And unusually, there is a super PAC supporting Jay Inslee that is called Act Now on Climate. It's rare for a presidential super PAC to even be named something in reference to one specific issue. This super PAC, Inslee is running, will support him. But if Inslee drops out at any point in the race, it will look to force the rest of the primary field to continue to discuss climate change. And Inslee is going to lean on his record and how he has proven as governor of Washington that a lawmaker who is very focused on climate change can be successful and can produce a prosperous state.
Is he adopting the term Green New Deal, which can mean different things to different people?
It's funny. I haven't heard him address the Green New Deal too much, and he hasn't adopted. He said that he supports the framework, but he sort of caveated that a little bit and made sure to say that he wants to look at the details. And this is what a lot of some of the more experienced Democrats right now are saying about this. They do see the peril of strongly opposing it, but at the same time, they want to see specifics because it is a very new proposal pushed by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is one of the most young, exciting politicians in the liberal base right now.
We just have a few minutes left with Daniel Strauss from Politico, who's covering the presidential field as we talk about developments in the Democratic presidential early going in this past week. Now, last Saturday, Bernie Sanders held a campaign rally in Brooklyn. Tomorrow, Elizabeth Warren will hold a rally in Queens. Do you happen to know if this was pre-planned or some kind of quick response to Bernie in order to have a presence here?
I mean, I actually don't know that it was meant to sort of counter Bernie Sanders. I will say that I think what we're seeing in this primary so far is a recalibration of important early states in the map. It is unusual that Elizabeth Warren would go to and hold a rally in New York, which is traditionally a popular stop for presidential candidates to raise money, not necessarily to hold a rally so early in advance. At the same time, though, it is a nest for young Democratic voters, and I think both Sanders and Warren want to tap into that youthful enthusiasm in the Democratic primary.
And Warren's rally will be in Long Island City, which immediately puts her in the position of having to take a position on the divisive issue of Amazon. Is she coming to promote herself to the base on that? Or maybe this was scheduled weeks ago and, you know, before Long Island City was such a flashpoint.
I would not be. I don't think that the location of Long Island City is a
coincidence.
Yeah, this is a major part of Elizabeth Warren's platform to fight overreach by major companies and to really tap into frustration among voters about largesse in the business community. So I would not be surprised if she addresses Amazon when she is there.
Which is perilous territory because that may or may not be a winning issue for a politician right now, since some people wanted Amazon out, but a lot of people wanted Amazon to stay and resent the push that got them to withdraw.
Yeah, exactly. I think that expect Warren to be prepared to try and address the nuances of the Amazon deal.
Last thing. The Democratic Party said yesterday it will decline any invitation from Fox News to have a Democratic primary debate on the network. And my first reaction was, wait, is this new? Is this surprising in any way? So have Democratic primary debates been held on Fox in the past? I actually don't remember that happening.
Yeah, I don't either. I think Brian, I had the same reaction as you. I was a little more surprised that a debate on Fox News was slated to happen at all. To be honest, look, I think that this was partially or mostly in response to this New Yorker article by Jane Mayer about the synergistic relationship between the White House and Fox News. And what we're seeing among Democrats is a strong unwillingness to throw negative punches at each other. There are a lot of Democrats, even for opposing candidates, and even the candidates themselves, don't really want to get into the mud. That's going to happen, but I think the overall feeling is that a debate with Fox News would only accelerate those negative attacks on each other.
Daniel Strauss from Politico, who's covering the Democratic presidential field. Daniel, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.